When we saw Albina Horton's story in the business section of the New York Times, we thought, this is unbelievable. But there's a good chance many of you already know about it firsthand. Albina and her husband wanted to refinance their home, but their appraisal was really low. Even their bank said, get a second one. But Albina, who is black, acted on a hunch and first de-blacked her house, taking out anything that might indicate a black person lived there. Then she left with her biracial son, and her white husband met the new appraiser. We'll hear what happened next, but according to the Brookings Institute, homes owned by blacks are historically underappraised. Albina and Alex Horton join us from Jacksonville. Albina, how did you have that hunch?
Because, you know, I have sold homes before, you know, and I'd always heard the advice from my peers that you really should try to make your home as neutral as possible and really try to make sure that there is no ethnic marker. And the fact that I felt that racism was at play in that first appraisal being so low, I set about to take down all of our family photos that contained African-American relatives, including myself and my son. Also took down holiday photos, only left up the holiday cards with my Caucasian friends. And we have a lot of pictures up for the benefit of our son. One of his favorite astronauts is Charlie Bolden, and he has a big picture of him up in his room, and so we took that down as well. Of course, we have Barack Obama all over our house.
Yeah, out goes Barack Obama. This is insane. And we know that actor D.L. Hughley, who had the same thing happen to him in a really upscale neighborhood in Los Angeles, he's written about that. So this was out in the ether. You knew this could happen.
I did know it could happen. Never in a million years did I think that I would actually experience something so egregious.
Did your child see you doing all of this, taking out the things that look like him?
Certainly not. He did not. This was after bedtime and quite a painful and traumatic experience, I must say. So
painful and traumatic for you. You're saying it would have been. Black authors, out they go.
Toni Morrison, Zora Neale Hurston.
Right. Okay, so then you remove yourself and your child. Okay, so Alex, Albina's husband, your wife and your child have now exited the house. You're at home when the appraiser comes. You are white. You must have been ready to blow a gasket while this is happening.
I had no idea. I was trying to kind of suspend judgment. The first guy came and he was kind of, you know, weird. But when the second people came, we were trying to actually sneak them out of the house while they were going around looking at the exterior, trying to make sure that they could get out in time. And I just remember like, oh my gosh, we have to get this right. We have to get this right. It's like, if it doesn't, this can affect, you know, not just our home refinancing, but just building generational wealth as a family.
So you're sneaking your beautiful, I must say, black wife and what I'm assuming is your beautiful mixed race child out the back of the house while your appraiser is looking at the front of the house. The appraiser goes through. 3:30 is your first appraisal. What was your second in a de-blacked house?
465.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. My first instinct was, oh my gosh, we made it. Like, we got it. Our refi is going to be fine. And then you have kind of that haunting feeling that, oh, I've been wrong. Like, we've been wronged as a family. And that did not go away.
Yeah. Well, Albina and Alex Horton, I want you to stand by there for just one second because we're going to bring another voice in here. He's Andre Perry. He's the author of Know Your Price, Valuing Black Lives and Property in America's Black Cities. You were part of writing this report for the Brookings Institute. You spoke at the Financial Services Subcommittee hearings on Capitol Hill in 2019. This was taken up in Washington. There's the Fair Housing Act of 1968 that would make this illegal. What's happening?
Yeah, laws change, but practices stay the same. People forget that it was legal to segregate communities. It was legal to discriminate against black people for much of our history. Many of the very practices around, particularly around appraisals that were developed during a time of segregation, are still part of the culture. What we found after controlling for education, crime, walkability, and all those fancy Zillow metrics, homes in black neighborhoods where the share of the black population is greater than 50%, are undervalued by 23% and about 48,000 per home. That equates to about $156 billion in lost equity. It would have financed more than 4 million businesses based on the average amount blacks use to startup firms. It would have paid for more than 8 million four-year degrees based on the average cost of a public education. It's a big number, and it's the money that we use to uplift ourselves.
Talk more about the knowledge of this, because we understand that there have been banks that have sent out appraisers. I'm looking at the Appraisal Process Task Group. It was created by the Cleveland Federal Reserve Bank in 1994. They asked four different appraisers to appraise the same property in a predominantly black neighborhood. The appraisals went from 30,000 to 85,000. What are the ways it can be changed?
Well, first of all, this is not just an appraiser problem. This is also lenders, real estate agents. When we look at black assets, we judge them like we judge black people. And so we reduce the value. So one of the things we have to do is figure out ways to regulate the way that appraisers create comps, comparable homes.
These are homes that are supposed to be comparable to the home whose value is being determined. But you say while appraisers can easily see comps in maybe all white suburbs where homes all look alike, they can't see comps in eclectic urban neighborhoods. They often pick homes of laughably less value.
There's something in that process that's going awry. Bias creeps in. 93% of the appraisal industry is white. And so another part of the solution is diversifying the field. We have got to address the bias that's robbing wealth, extracting wealth from black families and black communities.
Well, as you well know, appraisers have responded to this. Back when you had the hearings, an appraiser from Chicago, Maureen Sweeney, wrote a letter to the House subcommittee saying, is there a problem with poor and underserved communities in the U.S.? Yes. Is it the appraisal profession's fault? No.
Yeah, there's this white myth that the conditions of black neighborhoods are a direct result of the people in them.
Well, you and others point out inner cities are often neglected by landlords or city services. But this happens in wealthy black and mixed neighborhoods as well. You see appraisers lowball.
Folks, this naturally felt, it has to be worse because it's in a black neighborhood. And we're like, no, did you check the education? Did you check the crime levels? It's like they're punishing or adding a tax on these communities for apparently no reason. But we know the reason. It's the generations-long bias.
I'm reading an article by Gregory Squires in HuffPost, and one of the things he suggests is that banks and the lending institutions, the people who are, you know, hiring these appraisers, need to make sure that more of them are local.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Again, we know that if you live in a community, you recognize the nuances of it. And more importantly, you value the community.
Yeah. I want to bring back Abana and Alex Horton. And Abana, talk a little more about the things that you did and how it made you feel. For instance, hanging up old oil paintings of your husband who's white to make your house look more white.
Well, I mean, it felt slightly ridiculous. It felt like erasure, but it's something that black people know how to do. It's basically the ultimate code switch, turning yourself into the mainstream so that you can get along, so that you can get a fair result. If people are having these feelings, they need to report it. They should not just be taking this on the chin.
And you know people are feeling it because you posted your story on your Facebook page and it blew up. You reported this incident to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Have you gotten a response?
I have received a response and the investigation is ongoing.
Okay.
There was one question that I wanted to ask Andre about a policy solution.
Yep.
Go for it.
Someone has to come in and see it, or you can't really value it properly. Could there be a mechanism where there is a nationally recognized aggregator for AI that says what it says objectively based on all of those Zillow factors, but then also to the extent that an appraiser is significantly off the aggregator's number, they have to justify that difference?
Oh, yeah.
Or you can appeal?
And that's what's probably coming, some type of a better system of saying, hey, this appraisal's off.
That, you know, that's, Abhinav, that's such a good question, because the truth is, we all now know the home values because you've got things like Zillow.
Yeah.
Andre, one last question. For people thinking they are white and this isn't their problem, if there is a family down the street that's mixed race or black and they get underappraised, your value goes down too.
That's exactly right. We're all in this together.
That's Andre Perry, a fellow at the Brookings Institute, author of Know Your Price, Valuing Black Lives and Property in America's Black Cities. And we've also been speaking to the Hortons, Abhinav and Alex, who de-blacked their home and saw their home appraisal shoot up over $100,000. All of you, thank you so much for talking to us about it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Robin.
Oh, thank you.